It's Tuesday, May 17th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a partner of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, I'm on the road here and got a great show lined up for you. A little bit late here in the state of Texas, but that's okay. You guys know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii. Not Hawaii, from the beautiful state of Texas, via the Geek News Central portable studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Boy, I think I'm in Honolulu, don't I? I've been home too long and out of practice for doing the on-the-road show, but that's the way things happen sometimes. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, the longtime listeners of the show. I want to thank you for being here and being part of the family. And of course, I want to encourage you to share the show with other people that you know and encourage them to subscribe to the show. That's always important. That gets the word out on what we're doing here. And of course, if you're new to the show, make sure you get subscribed to the podcast. That way you'll never miss a single episode. You can do that by visiting geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the second column of the website there, a whole bunch of number of shows to subscribe to. Of course, this show is Geek News Central, and we've got some other shows on there as well. Of course, I want to give a shout-out to the Gadget Professor. He was able to get his episode put up, so you guys I hope you checked out last week's edition of The Gadget Professor. And, of course, we have the second edition of Robot Underpants. So feel free to email either of those hosts. They've got their contact information in their show. But if you got comments on this show, you can email them to me directly at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can always sign up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains everything I'm going to cover in the show, all the links to all the articles that I'm going to talk about, and that'll be in your inbox immediately following the show. That's not a discussion newsletter, and you're not going to get spammed. It's just going to be a newsletter where I send out the show notes, and you'll be able to follow along with the show or basically find out what I've covered before actually watching. Of course, you can watch us tonight. We're up on Ustream, I think. I think we're up on Ustream only tonight. And, of course, you'll be able to watch this show later on either the Roku or the Boxy. And if you're watching on either of those devices, we want to hear from you as well and let us know what you think about the shows recently. Of course, when I'm on the road here, the quality is definitely not the same. And it's one of the challenges of being on the road is creating, I guess for a better word, great video quality. And being that I haven't traveled that much this year, just haven't really paid too much attention to my portable machine or portable setup. But I was kind of doing a little bit of inventorying today and seeing where that system laid out. And got to get a little bit of camera, I think, is the next step for the portable machine. Hey, one thing I do want to share with you. I got in here to Texas mid-morning today, and got into the hotel, and it was kind of funny because, you know, you've been on the airplane, you're grimy, you're dirty, you want to get in a shower, and that's about the first thing that I do when I get into a hotel after having traveled is, you know, jump in a shower. So I got in and, got the shower nice and hot and got lathered up. And what I do, and maybe this is from being taught well by my wife or trying to conserve water, is I usually get water down, turn the water off, scrub, you know, get all the dirt and grime scrubbed up, and then turn the water off to rinse off. I turn the water to rinse off, and there was no water. And I was like, is there something wrong? And I stood there dumbfounded between the time I shut the water off and the time that I got ready to rinse off, which was, you know, maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes. The hotel had shut the water off. Now, I had a little bit of a drizzle. Apparently, they had some water problem. So I'm standing there from head to toe, soaped up, and I'm cussing like a sailor. And I really did not know what to think. I'm thinking, this is a, you know, this, if I was out camping somewhere, go jump in the ocean, or, you know, but, you know, there's no alternative. So I get out of the shower, and, you know, just imagine head to toe. So I come to the phone, and I call the front desk, and I'm like, what happened to the water? And they're like, oh, sir, you didn't get the notice? We shut it off. I'm like, no, I didn't get no notice. They didn't tell me when I checked you and you were shutting the water off. I'm standing here head to toe in soap with no water to rinse off, and you get this, you mean you were in the shower when the water went up? Yes. And I said, I need some bottled water or something to rinse off. So she sent the maid up with like 10 bottles of water. So I stood in the shower and I used, Ozark water to rinse off. I only needed about 6 bottles. But, you know, I was like, wow, what a start to my day. And so anyway, it is what it is, but never had that happen before. And the water was only off, I guess, for about 4 hours, but it was very, you know, this big surprise. I wouldn't have jumped in the shower if I'd have known. I would have waited, you know, and pressed through, but it is what it was. Hey, I want to thank a longtime sponsor here, GoDaddy.com, and I want to talk about this special deal we've got going on this month. They've got their fourth generation hosting plans, their 4GH hosting, where you are able to basically get premium, their premium package for their lower package pricing. And I'll have a link up in the show notes tonight that'll take you to an article that's going to talk about that and basically how this deal works. Now, I got an email from GoDaddy a couple of days ago, and they said, Todd, hey, make sure you let your listeners know that it's for a 1-year contract. Now, they didn't stipulate that in initial email that they sent me, but if you want to use that code GEEK, GEEKECO, and that's the code you would use on the 4GH hostings page, basically you get the premium package. No, you get the economy, excuse me, you get the premium package at economy price, okay? So I think it's like $4.99 is the 1-year, 1 month, 12-month per month price. So it's like $60. And you'll get that if you use that Geek ECO. You pick the premium package for 1 year, get to the checkout counter, use that Geek ECO. Got lots of other good codes for you to use, of course, as well. Geek5 will save you 5% off on orders $20 or more. You can use Todd. That'll get you 10% off on non-domain orders. ComSale, ComSale2, we get you .com renewals and discounts on .coms. So you just go ahead and play around with my codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll see your biggest savings by one of those codes. And feel free to use it. And we want to thank all of you for supporting our longtime sponsor here, GoDaddy.com. Well, lots going on. There was on the Saturday morning, Ted did. We had a great conversation. Was expecting one particular guest from a Mac show he was going to be on. He had Skype difficulties, and basically we couldn't hear him, and he couldn't hear us, and basically was kind of, or actually we could hear him, but no one could, he couldn't hear us, and we're going to have him on a later date, but Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine came on and joined us for the remainder of the hour that he wasn't able to be on. I had Rob Greenlee on. So we talked about a lot of stuff, and it was a pretty good show. So I think you ought to check that out if you haven't done so. Basically, about 5 hours of content a week here, folks, for you at Geek News Central. So feel free to check the shows out. And we want to thank you for subscribing to all those, of course. All right, let me look at my list here of what's going on. Trip out, pretty uneventful, pretty standard flight, no issue. So from that standpoint, I guess everything is, you know, ops normal here. So Weather's beautiful. No rain. It's nice. It's actually really, really nice. But been watching what's been going on in the Gulf area and Louisiana, Georgia, all the states that are affected by the flooding of the Mississippi. Unbelievable tragedy there. And, you know, with the opening of those recent gates and the flooding of homes and, you know, trying to prevent New Orleans from going underwater again, wow, devastating beyond belief. I can't imagine being in the pathway of that. It's one thing, you know, even when I was getting ready to buy a house in Honolulu, we were always, because believe it or not, Hawaii has some flood areas as well, along with tsunami inundation zones. And one thing I did not want to live in was a floodplain or a tsunami zone. And it was part of our buying criteria. But I know when you live there for all your, you know, basically your whole life and have had to put up with a few floods now and then, but it sure, I can't imagine my house being full of 15 foot of water. I just, to me, that is incomprehensible. And so I'm sure all of us, our hearts go out to those folks that are suffering right now and have been suffering all the way, you know, up and down the Mississippi for the past few weeks here. So pretty crazy stuff. But I was just fascinated watching the news and when them opening up those new gates on the Morganza Spillway. And you just stand there in awe looking at the amount of water that's coming out of, you know, they're diverting. And it's, you know, how many of you as kids, you know, played in the water and you made little dams and stuff? And just you look at that and that, you know, it's like Army Corps of Engineers, you know, big boys playing with water almost. But it's not for fun. It's a very serious business and pretty crazy for sure. But hearts go out to those folks in those areas. Hey, I want to thank Citrix GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. It's a product that right now, for me doing online meetings, I absolutely cannot live without. I was on a call with a CDM this afternoon. They're trying to entice me into coming doing some business with them. I was talking about some projects that we've got coming up. And they said, okay, well, basically at the end of the week, they wanted to do a meeting. And I said, sure. I said, you're going to send me a meeting invite? And they said, absolutely. And about 5 minutes after I hung up from the phone with them, I got a Citrix GoToMeeting invite from one of the biggest CDNs in the business. And it just goes to prove that if a huge business like that will use Citrix GoToMeeting and inviting me to do an online demonstration for a business meeting, and I'm, as a small business owner, using that to do business meetings with folks, this is a product that works across the entire, you know, Fortune, we're nothing in the Fortune, you know, 500 company. And so I want you to definitely try it out on me. All you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button. It'll be a little orange button on their website that says Try It Free. And enter the information and enter the promo code podcast. And get a free 30-day trial on me. Give it a try. Make it improve your business. Save yourself some money in these days of high gas prices and having to not travel so much. When you do have to travel, you do. But it's definitely saved me a lot of airplane trips this year. That's for sure. So again, GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and of course, click on our enter podcast in the promo code area along with the rest of the information they asked for. And thanks for giving that a trial here. Okay, I got a lot of stuff for you tonight. I mean, just a huge stack, and want to get through this on a normal order so that we don't run the show too long. And, of course, a reminder to definitely check out The Gadget Professor and The Robot Underpants. Latest shows are up at Geek News Central. And for those of you that aren't familiar, when you are looking in the subscribe area of the website, there's actually The Robot Underpants, The Gadget Professor, The Morning Tech Show. Their show pages are actually hyperlinked within that box. So all you got to do is click on the link. It'll take you to that. Also, want to really beg your indulgence. I've got a two-minute survey for you. You're going to have show notes tonight, a link that says take our survey. Please take our survey. This is a new survey that we've just rolled out. This is something that Raw Voice just introduced for all of our content creators. So basically, you'll see the link underneath the subscribe page on geeknewscentral.com. You'll also find it in the newsletter that comes out tonight. So just help us learn about the audience, and we're just time. And it really, we've made it simple. It pops up. You don't get taken to a separate page. And if you can't do the survey in 60 seconds, we done wrong. And it's real easy to go through. You just basically click the your choice, and it runs you right through it. And I'm not kidding. 60 seconds maximum is what it's going to take you to get through the survey. So we'd appreciate all of our audience members going through and taking a survey. It's been a while since we've done one, so we hope that you'll help us rebase the show here and see where we're at from an audience standpoint. First article, of course, tonight is Space Shuttle Endeavour launched this morning. I missed the launch, wasn't able to see it because I was still in transit here to Texas. But the shuttle took off, and I guess I was watching some of the replay videos. There's some amazing pictures out there of when the shuttle went through the cloud deck, and just basic way the jet plume illuminated the clouds was pretty spectacular. But I guess they're on orbit doing okay. It'll be rendezvousing with the International Space Station here in a couple of days. Hey, one of the compelling articles I found today was basically it's actually on a Bing blog post and talking about how the folks at Bing are now really looking at information on Facebook. And you know, oftentimes, you know, on this show, for example, I'll tell you guys about GoDaddy, I'll tell you about Citrix GoToMeeting, I'll tell you about different products and services, and, you know, sometimes you'll go ahead and you guys will make a purchase on my recommendation alone, but sometimes maybe you'll go out to a friend or a colleague and say, hey, what do you know about this? And in order to get backup information, or if you've done your own research, you basically are looking for a confirmation on a product or service before you make the buy. And I think a personal endorsement by someone you trust is vital. You know, anything that we buy today, it's just like when I was getting ready to buy my first new car in 20 years. I basically went out and it was asking people what they thought about the vehicle, those that had owned it, and you're really getting some personal confirmations, because what you read on a website necessarily isn't what isn't represented completely correctly, because maybe some reviews have been skewed and the whole nine yards. But what Bing is doing is they are trying to make their search more friendly. So in other words, they're looking at if you do type in their friendly web hosting, or you type in whatever term you may, you're going to find conversations about products. So you're going to be able to kind of see what other people have to say. And they've tried to make this, and there's a great article on how they're starting to implement this. And basically, they're trying to make their search results a little bit smarter so that it has what they're calling a friend effect, and the collective IQ of the web really being able to tell you not whether or not a product or service is good or a place to go is good. I think this is smart. Now, we'll have to see how tight they integrate this with, because the marketeers are going to look to do anything that they can to try to skew public opinion in their favor. And many times they will write review after review after review on multiple sites without disclaimer that it's a company rep doing it. So they've got a snapshot of how Facebook Friends works and how it's fueling faster decisions on Bing. This is about a two-minute video. I found it pretty compelling. I have it up in the link in the show notes for you to check out. If we were back in the studio in Honolulu, I would just go ahead and roll it there so you guys could watch it now. But link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, those of you on the PlayStation Network, of course, Sony announced that they're starting to roll those, turn it back on. And as far as I know, over a million customers have had to do some password resets. Japan has said, no, you're not going to turn the PlayStation Network back on yet in Japan until you prove to us that it's running good. But those of you that are on PlayStation 3s can now finally access Netflix on their games consoles again. But you're not going to be getting any kind of refunds. Apparently, so far, Netflix is not offering any discounts or refunds to people affected by the PSN outage. So this is interesting, because Sony is going to give all kinds of goodies to those of you that have been your, you know, multiple game player gaming and stuff. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. And there may be some goodwill gestures done by Hulu as well. I don't necessarily think this is a good thing by Netflix not to give some love back to their subscribers. Maybe they'll be able to influence Sony to offer some benefits, being it was their fault and not Netflix's. Next article up is a big deal today. Some more information about Netflix is that they have signed a deal with Miramax Classics. So that's going to be coming to Netflix. So you're going to be able to watch movies such as Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, Clerks, Bad Santa. These are all going to be titles that Miramax has that's going to be available. And you're not going to get the entire Miramax library at the same time. Apparently dozens of titles will be added on a rotating basis. So you're going to have to keep an eye out for stuff. So we'll see. They're saying this is the first step, and they've signed a 5-year deal to bring Miramax classic videos to Netflix. Article up on GigaOM. This is pretty cool. Seagate has unveiled a wireless mobile storage and iOS app. This is awesome. So do you often find yourself wanting more storage, even with some of you may have a 16 gig iPad and you might find yourself out of storage? And, you know, you're trying to figure out how you're going to, you know, you have to either offload that. But what they've done is they've got what's called the new GoFlex Satellite Mobile Wireless Storage. This 500 gig portable hard drive wirelessly connects to any Wi-Fi enabled mobile device and then can be used to store music, movies, pictures, documents, and various types of iOS information onto the drive. And then you as a user can access that media using a free companion app from the App Store designed specifically for use with the GoFlex hardware. The GoFlex satellite drive has a battery life of 5 hours, and so it retails for $199. This is kind of an interesting device to have for those of you that are hardcore over on iPads or using mobile devices and out of room. Now, here's the thing that you have to be wary of. The media has to be in a format that your iOS device can read natively. And if you're using the browser-based media player on Android or any other device not made by Apple, streaming doesn't seem to work so smoothly as of yet. So we'll see how this develops. But this is a brand new product line from the folks at Seagate. I'll try to get my hands on one of these and get a review out to you here as soon as possible. Also, for those of you that do any type of streaming online, be very, very careful. The U.S. Intellectual Property Enforcement Coordinator, Victoria Espinel, produced her wish list of changes to U.S. law a few months ago. One item in particular that has caught interest of several senators, specifically Senator Amy Klobuchar from Democrat of New Minnesota and John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, are planning to introduce such a bill that essentially will now, if you stream unauthorized media, so if you take a television program, if you take something that's under copyright, what you're going to face now is online streamers now can be facing a felony instead of a misdemeanor. And this is huge. And the White House is behind this bill as well. So online streamers can now face up to 5 years in prison and a fine in cases where they show 10 or more public performances by electronic means in any 180-day period, and the total retail value of those performances tops $2,500, or the cost of licensing such performances is greater than $5,000. So this obviously makes movie makers and theater owners very happy. And that's my honey calling. She'll have to wait here till I get done with the show. So be aware, and I'm sure all of us know not to do that, but this is the upping the penalty for those that are going to be streaming where they should not be streaming. Logitech review. Hey, the Google TV, it's down to $199 from $299. So this is good news. If you want $100 off MSRP, that's $199 off. So obviously, this is a big deal. Now, Amazon has got the price even lower, another $20. So you can pick it up for $179. So if you've been holding to pull the trigger on the Google TV, this sounds like a deal. They're going to sell a bunch of units now. At this reduced price, I think this is a price point that makes a lot more sense. We'll see. But I definitely did caught my interest. But anyway, the Google TV from Logitech is now $179 on Amazon. And that's big. So go out, and if you've been waiting, holding off on Google TV, now is the time to jump on board. We talked about on the last show the what was going on with iOS developers being sued by a patent holder. And the folks from LODSYS, L-O-D-S-Y-S, have detailed their patent threats. And boy, oh boy, they don't want much. If you have the ability to click to buy or click to subscribe in your app, they want 0.57% of U.S. revenue over the period of a, basically, if you're doing this, this is going to be their licensing fee. So if you do $1 million a year in sales, they want $5,750 a year to license their patent, or 0.5%, almost 0.6%. So I guess it could be worse, but it's interesting that they have laid out their case on their website. Have a link up to this in the show notes. Doesn't make it any happier. The people over in the Apple forums are just absolutely screaming bloody murder. I don't know if Apple will come to their rescue. I don't know. Well, time will tell. But again, this could put a heavy dampener on the app development space, especially if developers just go ahead trying to fight them, go ahead and settle, and you know, basically make the make the deal with them to license their patent. The more and more indications are that Nuance Voices is going to be found in OS X Lion. So there's probably going to be new iPhone speech text capabilities, and we shouldn't be surprised about that. You know, nothing like being able to take your phone and basically talk into it and say, closest emergency, closest hospital, and it'll show you a hospital. Or Thai food, and it'll show you the closest Thai food. You know, you're speaking to your phone in order to have it. And I know that Android already has many of these capabilities, but it doesn't exist in the iPhone yet. But we'll see where that comes in for all of us here when they introduce the Nuance platform into OS X Lion. All right, those of you in the UK, and this may not affect you too much, but apparently there's a thing in the UK called super injunctions. And super injunctions block newspapers from reporting on certain people or issues. Quite frequently, they're used to get stories of famous people having affairs, blocked from publication. And, you know, these have been semi-not effective. But now, UK court has expanded super injunction censorship rules to include Twitter and Facebook. So the new injunction restricts the publishing of a woman's identity in any newspaper, magazine, public computer network, internet site, social network, or media, including Twitter, Facebook, sound or television, broadcast, or cable, or satellite programming services. I don't know how they're going to enforce this, but this is the expansion of the super injunction rule in the UK. Let's see here, waiting for the browser to catch up. How many of you have two monitors on your desk? How many of you have two monitors at your work? I know that I work with two monitors in my studio. It's just makes it, I have a huge one and another one that's almost the same size next to it. And it really is a, you know, just, I don't know how I would not want to work with a single monitor. And I really agonize over it when I come on the road and I'm just have a single monitor for my laptop to work with. And, but imagine you are an employee at a company and they're got a shortage of monitors and you're a developer and they come take your second monitor away. You know, how would you react to that? So apparently this is starting to happen. Some companies are trying to save money, and you know, as inexpensive as monitors are, I find it pretty surprising. But how much would it impact you to go down to two monitors, or does your employer even give you two monitors? Do you have to utilize a single monitor? So there's a good article over on itmanagement.earthweb.com, and I'll link up this in the show notes for you to check out. But I would think this would be huge based on previous studies we've seen where a second monitor can increase productivity by as much as 67%. You know, since the TSA has introduced basically you can't have more than a thimble full of water or liquid in your carry-on luggage, you know, I used to, where I was traveling, I might find a local wine. You basically bring stuff back, and I would always bring in my carry-on because I didn't feel safe putting anything in my checked luggage. And ever since the new ban on carrying liquids in your carry-on, I really haven't been able to safely bring a liquid home, whether it be a bottle of wine or a custom whiskey or something to that effect. But now there's a new company called JetBag that gets your wine home safely in checked luggage. The jet bags protect wine from breaking on a rough flight and will absorb the contents in case they are busted. So you got to check these out. These are pretty cool. You can get 3 for $15. So if you're used to going on vacation and you go to Napa Valley or something and pick up some wine, instead of having it shipped, you may want to try some of these jet bags. They look like they're pretty durable. Padding, you can stick a whole bottle of wine in, seal it, and it really seals it well. So definitely check this out. $15 for 3, so $5, maybe worth it depends on how much you bring back. But I have this link up in the show notes. This was over at digitaltrends.com. All right, there's a new scam going around, and this is primarily for Windows users. Scammers are trying to trick Windows users into paying for fix to a bogus hard drive error. Basically, they get a, kind of looks like a Windows pop-up that basically says, hey, you've got a problem with your hard drive. Your hard drive needs to be repaired. And, of course, what it is is not hard drives going bad. It's a Trojan that tries to entice you to clicking install, and it's a fake disk cleanup program, and this is not good. The malware kicks off the scam by moving all the files in some folders to a temporary location and hiding others and making desktop icons disappear. All that is followed by a message that looks like a valid Windows warning. So it says system error. An error occurred while reading system files. Run a system diagnostic utility to check your hard drive for errors. You say okay, and you're done. It owns you right at that point. So be very careful out there of the latest scam going around. It's basically using some bugs within Windows and Internet Explorer to trick you into basically clicking on something you shouldn't. Hey, one thing that I was, a point of discussion that came up Saturday, we're talking about YouTube. You know, now YouTube videos, they've got live streamer for select partners. Most of the videos you see on the front page are either of Justin Bieber or one of those entertainers. And really, there isn't, the self-generated stuff, the short YouTube videos, you don't see a lot of that on the front page anymore. You see a lot of commercialization. You see big stars, big names. And to me, YouTube is kind of, even though I post my show over there, I don't get a lot of traction. A lot of people don't watch my show on YouTube, just very few. Matter of fact, if I ever had more than 500 people watch a single episode on YouTube, I'd be blown away. But apparently, a lot of people are thinking that Google is taking the U out of YouTube. And while some people are making big money, I guess that one individual whose name is Philip DeFranco, I think I've seen a couple of his videos, he's making between $60,000 and $100,000 a year putting his stuff up on YouTube. There's not very many people that do that and have that type of, he has to get millions of hits in order to earn that kind of income. But he's apparently making enough money where he employs a staff of 10 now, and 5 of them work on his YouTube account. So that's pretty impressive that he has that many. So he must be bringing a lot more than if he's only paying himself $100,000. He can't have a staff of 10. He must be making $1 million or more a year to support that kind of a staff. So anyway, we'll see where this goes. But do you think they're taking the U out of YouTube? Or do you even care? Do you even go to YouTube anymore to watch any content? Love to hear comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Hey, the FCC Commissioner Meredith Atwell Baker is defending herself against the charges that she improperly benefit from her support of the massive Comcast NBC buyout. She's basically says, hey, I'm innocent. They didn't make an offer anytime we were in discussions. I run this through FCC legal. So she's very much on the defensive, but criticism continues to pour out, but I thought it was interesting that she actually responded to this, and she only made a couple of sentence statement, but it looks very, very lawyered, her response. Very, very lawyered. It doesn't look like a response that would be made by an average person, but it's very lawyered. Okay, over on the Register, if you are, they're reporting, Mozilla is saying that if you still are running Firefox 3.5, they're saying, hey, get off the boat, upgrade. If you don't, basically, you're not going to get updates anymore that's going to support 3.5. They want you to move at least up to 3.6 and hopefully to version 4.0.1. But they're definitely, they're not supporting 3.5 anymore. And they're going to basically grandfather 3.5. So they're going to try to force you to upgrade. And I think, you know, based on the performance I'm seeing in version 4.0, it's probably a good move. I know some people haven't upgraded because the plugins haven't been updated in some instances to 4.0, but at least get off 3.5 to 3.65, okay? The administration wants 3 years in prison for infrastructure hackers. The administration is looking to make hacking attacks against critical infrastructure systems punishable by mandatory 3 years imprisonment. It also wants the act normally applied to mobsters to be applied to online criminals, too. They've got a proposal out, was among the list of improvements to cybersecurity submitted to Congress by the executive branch to the U.S. government last week. So this is going to make some of the hacker stuff fall underneath the RICO Act. So if you're a hacker and you're doing something to a business, you could be charged underneath the RICO Act. And boy, let me tell you, that's one of those deals where they're able to sell mobsters to jail for many, many years. So they're going to start categorizing hackers as mobsters to a certain extent, I guess. If the crime fits, they're going to do that. They primarily saying they're going after professional crime rings. So I guess a professional crime ring is two or more people doing something they shouldn't be. So be aware of you know, with this federal, with you being able to have a felony now for streaming copyright material, you now you're also going to be, could be charged under the RICO Act for any type of hacking. I don't know, what do you guys think about that? Making this cybercrime pretty serious, aren't they? Getting heavy, very, very heavy-handed. Of course, this is proposed legislation. It's nothing that's been passed yet. So it's just what the administration wants. Those of you that are Android users, 99% of Android phones, and this is according to the Register, leak secret account credentials. The weakness stems from improper implementation of authentication protocol known as client login in Android versions 2.3.3 and earlier. Researchers from Germany's University of Ulm said after a user submits valid credentials to Google Calendar, Twitter, Facebook, or some other accounts, the programming interface retrieves an authentication token that is sent in clear text. Because the authorization can be used up to 14 days at any subsequent request on the service, attackers can exploit them, go to gain authorized access to accounts. So, you know, I don't think any devices really safe anymore. You know what happened this past, I went Sunday afternoon I went to upgrade my iPhone, and basically I started to sync it, and I said, oh, I'll go ahead and apply version 4.3.3. so I walked away from the phone, and it normally takes, you know, 20 minutes or so to download the software and update, and I came back to the phone, and it basically said, failed to upgrade, some unknown failure, and it showed the little iPhone link. And this is the first time ever that I had my iPhone now upgrade, and basically my phone was bricked for about 30 minutes until I figured out how to get it. It really didn't want to go into restore mode. I actually had to hook it up to my, because I've got it synced to a PC, so I had to hook it to my Mac, and that kind of did something. It flipped something inside the phone and allowed my PC to see the phone again and was able to do the restore. But for a while there, I was thought I was going to have to come on travel without a mobile device, which would have sucked. And I would have been today searching for a AT&T store, but was able to recover it and restore. But what a pain in the butt. That just proves to you, you do not do upgrades 2 hours before you get on an airplane and expect to get out scot-free. It always happens that way. But feel free to, if you had any troubles yourself, it's 4.33. Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. If you've joined us on Ustream tonight, make sure you come over to geeknewscentral.com, check out the website, subscribe to the show. I want to thank you for watching. Hey, remember the two individuals who told Mark Zuckerberg that they stole his idea for Facebook? Well, the two individuals went to federal court, and the federal appeals court rejected their bid for a rehearing in the Facebook case. So they're stuck with the $20 million in cash they got and their $200 million worth of stock they have. So, you know, it's not like they, you know, $250,000, it's not like they're hurting too bad. But anyway, that's the latest from on the law side from those two. This next one's a little weird. Now, when you buy a phone, you expect the phone carrier to implement a certain amount of security in the phone, where they're responsible for, you know, making sure that at least the phone, when it comes in its default configuration, can't be hacked. People can't dig in privacy information out from you, and all these little things that make, you know, that comes with a standard phone. Now, when you start loading apps and different things, then of course the security phone can be suspect because you're dealing with a third-party app. But AT&T now is planning in 2012 to launch a consumer security service for your mobile phone that you offer as a premium service. They'll keep your phone secure for a certain amount of money each month. And to me, I'm kind of like, isn't that what they're supposed to do with the money I'm paying them every month? Is keeping my phone secure and working with Apple and making sure that you know, my data isn't going to get hijacked? But apparently, they feel that people are scared about mobile attacks and are willing to pay more money for consumer security services for your phone. Would you guys pay for consumer security services for your mobile device? Probably they're going to charge big money for it. I can't imagine it being a small fee. Love to hear your feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Well, information out of Google News. And I don't use Google News a lot, but every day Google News crawls through thousands of websites, news articles. But what they're going to be doing is they're going to expand on stories in Google News in the U.S. to give you a greater story diversity. And bringing in multimedia, they're going to personalize top stories based on stuff you've looked at before. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how they've changed it. But they show kind of the new layout of Google News. And like the Endeavor launch, they're showing us 5 or 6 articles, then like 10 videos, and then have more information below that. Definitely a new look for Google News. So we'll keep advised. If you don't be surprised if you're going to see the update here. Well, you know, Facebook is pretty popular among families these days. And can you imagine having a child and naming your child like? Laura and Vardette Adler just had a baby girl. She's all cute and wrinkly, but they hate her so much that they named her Like, in honor of the Like button in Facebook. She says, to me, it's important to give my children names that are not used anywhere else, at least not in Israel. If once people gave biblical names and that icon, then today this is one of the most famous icons in the world. He said, joking that the name could be seen as a modern version of a traditional Jewish name, Ahuva, which means beloved. I believe there will be people who will lift an eyebrow, but it's my girl, and that's what's fun about it. Fun. Okay. You know, I'm sorry, but come on, Like? Hey, Like. How about Leah? Or Leah? Like? Oh, my goodness. That would not go over in my house. Never. Never happen. Hey, there's a pretty cool video, and I saw this a few days ago. It's a comet sun diving into the sun. Is that right? Yeah, a comet sun diving. Basically, a comet got caught up in the gravitational forces of the sun, was sucked in. Pretty cool video. And what you see coming out the other side of the sun is not an explosion, but it's just a coincidental magnetic flare. But I think when you see this video, you'll be like, whoa. But it is interesting to watch this comet get absorbed. It's huge. And don't know how big it is, but in this image, it looks pretty big. But you can definitely tell the sun has absolutely heated it up to red hotness, because it's got a heck of a fireball behind it. But link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Also, there's a cool article in space.com, talking about winds can strip galaxies of star stuff. I think we scientists have pretty much figured out now that dust in the galaxy has a tendency to condense and build up, and then ultimately end up with a planet. That's kind of what they suspect, how Earth was basically developed. And they're saying, though, that super windstorms, winds 10,000 times faster than the Earth's hurricanes, have been seen streaming molecular gas, the raw material used to make new stars, away from galaxies. So they're doing a new line of study on that. So any of you that are science buffs will like to read up on this. It's pretty cool stuff. Heavy, heavy science stuff on the space side. Interesting development by the FCC. The FCC is proposing to require interconnected voice IP and broadband service providers to file outage reports. So do you get your, my Time Warner offers the in-home telephone service. Well, now Time Warner is going to have to start reporting outages because of their tie-in to 911. So the FCC is moving ahead to expand its reporting obligations for telecommunication outages, touting the outage reporting rules as a 911 service provider. Service protection, the FCC proposed to expand its reporting rules to require interconnected voice IP and broadband internet service providers submit reports to the FCC, the same as wireless and cable have to do already. So this is good news. This is an interesting update that the broadband providers are going to have to. Of course, all that stuff is available. And, you know, if they fall underneath regulatory control at some point, there is a heavy burden. The regulatory commissions make a heavy burden on wired telephones in availability, you know, even during heavy storms and so forth, just to keep, you know, basically the phones have to stand for an emergency, even if the lights go out. But, so it's interesting what the FCC is being making the folks report on this. Let's talk about domain name seizures. Apparently, requests by information by a couple of senators on why ICE has basically been allowed to secure domain names, and just really on the QT. They're two of the most outspoken politicians, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden and Representative Zoe Lofgren, an attempt to get some much-needed answers to their questions. They asked the responsible authorities to explain how effective the seizures are and whether they are legitimate. This week, they received a response, but not the one they were looking for. Although Homeland Security's ICE unit finally responded after 3 months, the politicians found the answers to be insufficient, as all the major issues were simply avoided. Senator Ron Wyden said, "It's hard to imagine that the administration can effectively deter online copyright infringement when they refuse to answer basic questions regarding what they believe constitutes infringement." Now, he goes on to say, while the department finally responded to the questions I sent them more than 3 months ago, the response from ICE and the DOJ reveal a single-minded determination to stamp out online infringement and demonstrates little, if any, understanding of the Internet's values and functions, he added. So this is an interesting, and this is a huge article over on TorrentFreak talking about this. But essentially, the response from ICE shows that they have no intention of explaining their actions, and they will continue seizing domains without answering some of the core questions that have been asked. And that's not all. Things may get much worse, much more disturbing. Whereas earlier this week, the U.S. government is working on, of course, the revamped version of the COICA bill, the COICA bill, named the Protect IP Act, which they say is not a treaty. Apparently, it's apparently a bill designed specifically to make the domain seizures most effective and give the authorities even broader guidelines. We talked about this last show for ISPs to block websites. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with their next round of questions to ICE, Homeland Security, Department of Justice, but at least two senators are not pleased with the response they're getting back from those organizations. And there's actually a PDF it's a 7-page PDF explaining position from the DOJ. So definitely, if you want to check that out, you can. And again, folks, I'm telling you, this is a time you need to be speaking out to your congressional representatives and letting them know what you think about all these latest actions going on to almost the point of being not protecting our freedom of speech. And this could be in invoking censorship on the internet. Now, again, as I've said all along, I don't support illegal activity on the internet, but there's also people allowed their day in court and are presumed innocent and are innocent. It's not presumed and are innocent until proven guilty. And if the Homeland Security wants to take someone to court and do an injunction against them, that's one thing. But without any due course, I just feel that at this point, the government's definitely overstepping their boundaries. Again, these are my personal opinions, but again, it's if to this point that's ICE's decision, but if that's there's a copyright infringement going on, they're just going to take the site down without any due process. So again, in the United States, you're innocent until proven guilty. Yet that is not the way these cases have been handled in these groups. And, you know, they may have very well been taken down with normal court action, but at least those folks would have had their day in court. That has not happened. So it is pretty scary what's going on. And with these new proposals to have ISPs block sites, gets even more a little bit, should raise your eyebrows quite a bit. Tort Frank also has a good article about the Pirate Bay, shows how the Pirate Bay started out with a one-server system and now what they're up to with this huge rack of servers that runs the runs Pirate Bay. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. You guys can read that as a kind of information sheet on basically what it takes to run a big site like that. How many of you played around with alternative operating systems? And, you know, this is a topic I have not paid any attention to whatsoever. And the folks over at technologizer.com, I can't speak tonight, have a review of 13 alternative operating systems. And these are pretty cool. OpenGEM, which one I wasn't even familiar with at all. But anyway, I've got a link here to these all these different alternative operating systems for you to check out. And most of these are not Linux-based. They're a different type of DOS-based, and it's kind of cool to check these out. Anyway, I have a link in the show notes for you to review. The good review, too, of the audio-video client that's introduced by AIM. And, you know, this is a... people have been actually saying this is pretty good. The new audio, basically this AV client, is doing video chat pretty simple. And the folks were pretty happy with this. Even though the more people that got on, it got a little bit out of sync. But none of these services completely keep your mouse in sync with your audio. But it's exceptionally easy to get going. You don't need an account. You don't need information about the people. All you need to do is send them a bit.ly URL, and it initiates the chat where you all come into the same chat room. So pretty cool stuff. And if you get a chance to check it out, please do so. And if you have some feedback for me on how it worked, definitely email me at the show here at geeknews@gmail.com. Rumor out of Russia, Microsoft to buy Nokia for $30 billion. No, I just don't see that being potential. $30 billion? Do you think Nokia is still worth that much money? You know, I was surprised they did the deal with them to run Windows 7. I just don't know. $30 billion? That would really tear into Microsoft's war chest. I can't see them doing it. But maybe. We'll see. We'll see if this develops. All right, I don't know if how many of you guys know this, but 20 years ago, I used to DJ a lot, and I could scratch with the best of them. I run as many as four turntables, yes, four, and had stacks and stacks of DJ gear and records, and this was the time before when we were all still running vinyl. I used to bring stuff in could have carried it on a forklift, but it was usually on a little dolly. But there's a pretty cool app out called Mofo DJ. It's pretty cool, and I'm going to link this up in the show notes. If you have a couple of turntables and this app and an Apple computer, there's going to be some kids that are going to go absolutely gaga over this. I'll have the link up in the show notes. You can check it out, watch the video, and if any of you have kids that are, practicing to be a DJ, you got to show them this. It is, or adults that are DJs, check them out. Pretty impressive. It really is. Now, this is not a cheap thing to get started, but what these researchers have done, and I don't know if this is fully available or not, but it's pretty cool. And it's, of course, using accelerometers and gyroscopes inside a couple of iPod Touches to make this happen, along with some specialized apps. So when you see it, you're gonna think it's, even from a gadget perspective, it's pretty cool. When I was in the Navy, and when we were teaching guys to troubleshoot electronic gear, especially if I had a guy that was getting a check ride, in other words, he was going to be being qualified as an operator, he'd have to go through a one-day check ride on a flight where we'd be checking safety of flight and his knowledge of the gear, whether or not he could operate it. One of the things that we would do is we would purposely break the gear that he had, and he'd have to troubleshoot it down to to basically what was wrong. And it was usually a cable disconnected or, all kinds of little tricks we did. But I got really good, especially with guys that thought they could outsmart me. But I would have like these dummy cables, and I would disconnect the cable that was right, and I'd hook this dummy cable in and kind of run it back where they couldn't see it. And so they'd look at the box and say, oh yeah, the cable's hooked up, that's good. And they'd put the box in. So fake them out, and basically ultimately they would either figure it out or I would have to say, okay, let's go back and logically think about the discrepancy. And it was part of the process to train people. Well, over on Ogizmo, they've got a fake USB cable. So what this is it's a USB cable that will plug into your USB cable, and the other end ends in a little prong that you can basically attach to different things. You could attach it to a banana, a little car. All I can say is this would be a lot of fun to use, and people would be like, what is that device for? And you could say, oh, that's to warm up my banana, or it's to cool off my soda, or, something. It's really, when you see it, you're going to get it. And, of course, it's available for resale. You get two of these for five things for April Fools, or just to have around the office to have fun with the susceptible coworkers. But when you see this over on Ogizmo, you're just absolutely going to want one of these to check out. How many of you have, this is an oh, by the way thing. This is not techie. How many of you have an older model car that have hazy headlights? They kind of get those, that plastic, as it gets a little older, it gets a little foggy. Well, there's a cool product or some cool instructions on how to restore hazy headlights. All can be done for about $20. And there's a link to an instructional video on how to do this. I just thought this, I had a Volvo that had this issue, never really dealt with it. I just left the headlight area be hazy. But when you see this, you're going to be, those of you that have this, some hazing going on in your headlights, you're going to be like, yes, that's much better than that $300 receptacle to replace or more from a dealer. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Well, how many of you want to take your iPad to the beach? How many worried about getting it wet? All kinds of new kits out there to allow you to use your iPad or your Kindle at the beach. And I think a Ziploc bag sometimes works pretty good. But if you want something a little more fancy, that will also allow you to continue to touch through the bag and utilization out of your device. There's a new company out called DryCase. Has a pretty cool vacuum seal on it. I have a link in the show notes for you to check out. So if you want to pick up some of those to take your iPad or your Kindle to the beach this summer. A couple of articles over on Geek News Central. Tucker Tom did a good article on WordPress in your pocket. I have the link up in the show notes for that. And it's a new app that's out there for the iPod, iPad, iPhone. It's in the App Store. Another article done as well was one by KL talking about the Chromebook and will it succeed. So I see my group of bloggers over there have been hitting this topic up pretty well too. Nice to see some alternative opinion on that. Link will be up in the show notes for you. Those of you that live up in Canada, Copyright Group is pushing for levy on memory cards. Boy, oh boy. When what they want to do, the CPCC is asking for a new levy to be placed on memory cards, presumably all types. They would levy would vary depending on the capacity of the card, and those with less than 1 gig would be facing a 50-cent Canadian tax, while cards between 1 and 8 gigs would have an additional dollar tacked on, and for those over 8 gig would be an additional $3 Canadian. So that's, you know, it's pretty big pricing. Consider that memory sticks are almost throwaway pricing now, but the Canadian Copyright Board is wanting this to happen with the CPCC. So once again, not only are they charging you for bandwidth, they are going to start charging you for storage as well. I'm always looking for cool art deco stuff, stuff that's techie in nature. This is something that's not available, but I think it's real cool. An older $4,000 Leica lens, was essentially split in two. And you can see the inside workings. And I was just fascinated to look. All of us have wanted to. How many of you have wanted to actually know how that mechanism works in there? I've always wanted to know. It's something I've always intrigued me on, is looking at lenses, you know, how they're constructed inside. I've never took one apart. But what this, if nothing else, just look at this cutaway of this Leica lens, and I think you're going to be blown away. But they took an older lens that's no longer in service, wasn't being used on any cameras. They cut it right down the middle. I don't know how they did this without breaking the glass, but they sold the two halves and they went for $1,000 a piece on eBay as art. And it's pretty cool. I'm pretty blown away by the construction, first of all, of what it goes into building these lenses and all the moving and interacting pieces that are inside. Very cool stuff. Anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. All right, kind of a little off the plant tonight on the show. Apologize about that, but hitting the jet lag wall here pretty hard tonight. So want to wrap up and get you guys out of here on time, and actually a little early. But it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. I have one more live show here in Texas before I'm back in the studio in Honolulu. We'll not be doing a Saturday tech show because I'm actually flying back on Saturday, so I won't be home in time to do the Saturday show. But one more show here in Texas, and then we'll be back in Honolulu. As always, you have comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Until next time, everyone takes care, and we'll see you. Aloha.